Good morning, Church. Today I will read with you from Isaiah chapter 11, 1 to 9 in Arabic. But you will find the screen, the word in the screen. سفر إشعياء الأصحاح الحادي عشر والآيات من 1 إلى 9. ويخرج قضيب من جذع يسى وينبت غصن من أصوله ويحل عليه روح الرب روح الحكمة والفهم روح المشورة والقوة روح المعرفة ومخافة الرب ولذته تكون في مخافة الرب فلا يقضي بحسب نظر عينيه ولا يحكم بحسب سمع أذنه بل يقضي بالعدل للمساكين ويحكم بالإنصاف لبائس الأرض ويضرب الأرض بقضيب فمه ويميت المنافق بنفخة شفتيه ويكون البر منطقة متنه والأمانة منطقة حقويه فيسكن الذئب مع الخروف ويربض النمر مع الجدي والعجل والشبل والمسمن معي وصبي صغير يسوقها والبقرة والدبة ترعيان تربض أولادهما معا والأسد كالبقر يأكل تبنا ويلعب الرضيع على سرب الصل ويمد الفطيم يده على جحر الأفعوان لا يسوؤون ولا يفسدون في كل جبل قدسي لأن الأرض تمتلئ من معرفة الرب كما تغطي المياه البحر آمين. Today we will light first candle together, peace candle.
Well, good morning, church. We are so glad you're here. Thank you, Pastor Wagdi. That is Wagdi Zakir. He is our Arabic pastor, and man, we have an incredible Arabic ministry. As a matter of fact, they're translating right now, and we are excited about what God is doing in that ministry. And so I hope you enjoyed reading the scripture in Arabic and listening in, or reading, actually listening in Arabic and reading in English. And so we're so thankful for them. And as I said, they're translating. Can you imagine translating? I just can't imagine translating for me. I preached at the Tennessee Baptist Convention a couple of weeks ago. When I got through, someone said that the woman who was doing the sign, because they was doing sign language, they said, I said her hands were just flying. They said, when I got through, she went, whew. So, I am glad that you're here. If you're watching online, thank you for being here. Please fill out a card if you're in a room in the back of some of those seats, or you can text the word connect to the number on the screen, 615 area code 615 country code 1, area code 615-551-9800, and that will start a dialogue. We want to know you're here. We want you to be a part of our family. So please do that for us. If you've not never done that and you're here, let us know that, all right? Also, please continue to give. Wagdi, we talked last week about our one-day offering. Well, the ministry, our Arabic ministry, our Hispanic ministry, those are supported by our one-day offering. And we're seeing people come to know the Lord in both ministries. And so we would love for you to give to that. And remember, we're taking it up, I think it's the 12th, but we'll obviously before and after, but we've got a day set aside. So pray about what you will give to the one-day offering so that we can take as many with us on that one day as possible, all right? And so also give your tithes. That one day is above your tithes. You can give in the boxes or online, our website, our app, text to give, multiple ways to give. So thank you for being involved in the life of this church with your attendance and with your giving, and in so many ways, the gospel is going out and people are being saved and good things are happening. If you didn't watch last week, watch last week. If you weren't here and you didn't watch, please go back and watch, just because I want you to catch up on, it was a Thanksgiving service, and we just thank God for all he's doing. I want to make sure you're up to date on all he's doing. I don't want to rehash it, so just go watch it so you don't miss it, all right? So, man, we're glad you're here. Today, we begin, I mean, man, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, right? I know I had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you did. But today, we are full pedal to the metal on the road to Christmas, right? I mean, man, our homes are are lit, our trees are up, the classics are on repeat, or at least they are at my house, right? I mean, we are on the march to Christmas. It's hard to believe, but we're there. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready. I am so ready for Christmas because, man, I'm just sick of lingering pandemics and selling plasma to pay for gas, right? I mean, gas, I don't really do that, but gas is so high and the lingering pandemics, I'm just so tired of it. And Christmas is just such a great reminder that there is something better. Our world's crazier than Cousin Eddie, right? But there's so much better, right? And that's what Christmas is a reminder of. And we call this season in the church, it's our Advent season. Now, the church has called the Christmas season Advent for thousands of years. Advent is the anticipation of the arrival of an important event or person. So what do we do at Advent? We celebrate the arrival of an important person, Jesus Christ. God put on flesh and came to visit. Even in the Old Testament, for years, they looked forward to the Messiah. They were anticipating. We look back on the day that Jesus was born, which, by the way, was probably not December the 25th. Don't want to pop any, you know, thing you have in your head there, but, you know, it probably was not December the 25th. It was probably more like the spring when Jesus was born, but we set aside the 25th to celebrate, and man, and I'm glad we did because it's an important day. We look back on the birth of Jesus, but we also look forward to his return, right? We're anticipating the return, the arrival of a very important person, Jesus Christ. So that's what Advent is. And we celebrate Advent and we do an Advent series each year. We do the Advent wreath and you know, we lit the peace candle today because we're gonna talk about peace, but an Advent wreath, maybe you've got an Advent wreath at your house that you do. And the book that Lisa talked about is our Advent guide, and it's got a study for you and your family once a week to do. It's not an everyday thing, it's a once a week. It's got meditations, verses for you to read every day. It's got activities you can do. It's got lyrics to songs. Really good resource. You can download it digitally, by the way, off of our website or on an app. It'll just, bam, it's right there. So it's easy to do. Download that thing. Pick one up if you don't have one and follow the Advent. We do that every year. And this year, our Advent series title is O Come All Ye Faithful. Right? Now, I love the song. I know you love the song. I love Christmas music. I hope you don't do. If you don't, something's wrong with you, all right? Because, man, I love Christmas music. But, oh, come all you faithful, because what we're going to try to do is call the faithful, the church, to come and behold Jesus. Jesus, our peace. Jesus, our love. Jesus, our joy, and Jesus, our hope. In other words, here's what we want you to understand, that Christmas, the Jesus, the Advent candles, the Advent wreath that we're talking about, they present every single thing people are looking for today. They are what people are looking for. Peace, man, who's not looking for peace? Hope in our crazy world. I mean, love and joy. Man, Jesus provides what people are really looking for. And so that's what we're gonna do. Today, we're gonna start out by talking about Jesus, our peace. That's our bottom, Jesus, our peace. Now, you know, we all want peace. We all want peace, especially in our world today, right? I mean, man, we'd pay big bucks for peace, right? People try to pay big bucks for peace. I mean, we want peace in our homes. We want peace with our children. We want peace in our marriages. We want peace in our world. We want peace, peace, peace. We want peace, but it's elusive for the world, right? And the thing is, that's why Christmas is so important and one of the great things, because it reminds us where to find peace. But before we can find peace in the birth of Jesus, we need to know what was broke with the sin of man, okay? And so that's where we need to go, because you see, Christmas didn't begin when the rope dropped on Black Friday. And Christmas didn't begin when Starbucks put out the red Christmas cups, right? That's not when Christmas begins. Christmas began in a garden. And we're gonna go back to the passage in Genesis 2 and look at the beginning of the Christmas story, because we have to understand all of it in order to understand the reality of it. And so let's look at when Christmas began, okay? In Genesis 2:15, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Now, here's what happened. God created everything, right? And we're going to see in here there's peace with man. Peace with God. God created everything, and it was incredible, and it was good, and it was so good, as a matter of fact, God said it's very good. It was beautiful. It was perfect. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, there was no stress. Nothing that you're stressed out about today, nothing that you came worried about. Whatever kept you up last night wasn't in the Garden of Eden, right? Whatever got you up, what woke you up hurting last night was not in the Garden of Eden, right? There was no medicine in your medicine cabinet at your house. And there was none of that, right? None of the stress, none of the pain, nothing in the Garden of Eden that caused us anguish. Nothing. It was not there. It's perfect. It was beautiful. God created man and he put him in the garden and he gave him a job to work and to keep it. He told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. In other words, they had a purpose. God gave Adam and Eve his unrestricted presence. It was amazing. But also, besides creating, God created everything, trees and all this. God created boundaries, right? He created boundaries, not to give limits, but to give life. It's sort of like every parent knows this. If you're a parent, then you've created boundaries for your kids, right? Hey, there's a curfew. You have to be in at a certain time if you've got teenagers, right? There's boundaries. You can't go here. You can't do that. There's boundaries, right? And so why do we as parents set boundaries for our kids? Because, man, our parents did it to us, and we just want to ruin their life, right? I mean, that's what they'll tell you. But see, that's not kids. That's not why parents set boundaries. Good parents, anyway. We don't set boundaries to help you live less. We set boundaries to help you live more, help you live longer, right? I mean, we want you to live. That's what God does. He set boundaries because he wants us to live real life. But you know what those boundaries are? Man, they're sort of like those presents that are going to be under your tree as the season goes on. You're going to have these presents under your trees, and if you've got kids, man, I mean, the boundaries are like those presents. The kids cannot keep their hands off of them, right? And that's what Adam and Eve were doing, man. God set these boundaries. You can't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Any other tree, play in it. Play in all of them. Build in all of them. Build tree houses. I mean, man, have a good time. But this one tree, he set boundaries. What did they do? Man, they're just like those kids at Christmas. They blew right by those boundaries, and they took the fruit, and they ate. And when the first tooth punctured the fruit, perfection was lost. I mean, man, all of a sudden, all this beautiful stuff that didn't cause them stress was now causing them stress. Adam and Eve were now laying awake at night. Adam and Eve, you know, before they were naked and unashamed, and now there's shame within their relationship. Now there's bitterness. Now there's finger pointing in their relationship. Now there's anguish, right? And there's pain in childbearing. And man, there's people that hate their job. Adam began to, his job was hard. He didn't want to get up and go to work tomorrow, you know, because there was thorns and there was thistles and there was things that got in the way of his work. And man, it just went south in a hurry, right? But more than anything, the thing that went south more than anything was this unrestricted access to the presence of God. God banished them from the Garden of Eden. He threw them out, actually stationed an angel so they couldn't get back in because the tree of life was there. They had sinned. They would live forever if they ate from the tree of life. God didn't want them to live forever like this. He wanted to redeem and then let them live forever in a perfected state. So he locked them out of the garden, and they no longer were in the presence of God. So here was the thing. The fact that God threw them out, the fact that they had this wedge between them and God, this distance between them and God, it wasn't about proximity, it was about peace, right? It wasn't that they didn't have a home with God, it's that they didn't have peace with God. That was their big issue. That was their big problem. As a matter of fact, the book of Romans says that we're even enemies with God. We are God's enemies. Right? Doesn't say God's our enemy. We're God's enemies, the book of Romans says. Our sin caused us to be isolated. It caused us to be separated, and it aggravated God's wrath against us. And it's into that dark, gloomy, dreary scene that the very first Christmas carol bursts forth, shining a radiant light into that darkness. And it's in Genesis 3:15. Genesis chapter 3:15. We read 2. Now let's see what happens. In 3:15, this is after they bit the fruit, after they blew past the boundaries, after they ran from God, after this peace was gone that they had. Here's what God said. He goes to the enemy. He goes to the serpent, to Satan, and he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. Now, the woman, we know in this story, or in this passage right here, the woman specifically is going to be Mary, but the woman he's talking about is the people of God. Remember in the book of Revelation, the woman who runs into the wilderness, all this thing, it's the people of God. So he says, I'm going to put enmity between the enemy and the people of God, the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. Now, the offspring would actually come through the line of David and be Jesus, the offspring, okay? And between your offspring, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So God promised the enemy that there's gonna be a war between the enemy and the people of God. That's what we've been seeing since Genesis 3, right? That's what we've been seeing throughout all the, that's the history of war. That's the bloodshed. That's why there's been slavery. That's why there's been rape. That's why there's been murder. That's why there's been countries tearing each other apart over land and over oil and over power and over just because, right? We want it. And that's why husbands and wives get divorced. And that's this war that's going on. That's what God promised. This war that's going on. But then he promised, look what's going to happen. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to stomp your head. So in other words, a bruise to the heel is painful, but you overcome it. But a stomping on the head, it meant annihilation. So he promised that you're going to wound him, which is what happened on Calvary on the cross, but he's going to destroy you, which is what happened at the resurrection 3 days later, right? So God made this promise that burst forth in that gloomy darkness. God made this promise that burst forth, and this verse is known as the Proto-Evangelium, proto, like prototype, first. It's the first gospel, Evangelium, the first gospel, because it contains a promise. God promised, hey, I know you're in a mess, but I'm gonna turn your mess, I'm gonna give you a Messiah. Your mess and a Messiah. That's the promise of God, right? God said, I'm gonna send a Messiah who will redeem you by crushing the head of the enemy. And this is what we celebrate at Christmas. It's not just a baby in a manger. That's not what we're celebrating. It's a promise of peace, right? It's a promise of peace. God's promise was made and God's promise was kept. That's what we celebrate. That's what the birth of Jesus is all about. God made a promise in Genesis 3:15. The promise was kept. We read it in Matthew, we read it in Luke, we read it in John, we read it in Mark. It's the promise kept, right? It's not about a baby in a manger, it's about the promise of peace. And God reminded Israel of this promise and through the prophet Isaiah. Israel was a lot like us. Israel was a fallen people and they lived in a wicked culture, wicked world, immersed in a deviant culture. And you know what they did? They forgot the promise. They forgot the promise and they began to turn to the world to look for things that only God could give them. And through the prophet Isaiah, God reminded them in Isaiah 9:6, here's what he reminded them. For to us a child is born. Now, remember, look at Isaiah. This is 700 years before the birth of Jesus. This is 700 years before Bethlehem, right? This is 700 years, and he says, a child is born. You notice that's present tense, right? It's present tense. Now, he's writing 700 years before. Why? Because it's guaranteed. He sees this as having already happened. This is the guarantee. A child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, which means a completely all wisdom, a mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. This is what Isaiah reminded Israel. Why? Because they, like us, man, we're so quick to drift and so prone to wander. Right? We're so quick to drift. We're so prone to wander. And we begin to look for things only God can provide in so many other things that the world has to offer. We begin to look for satisfaction and all that new shiny little stuff. Maybe there's something under my tree. Or maybe today you're thinking, oh yeah, this is gonna be cool because I'm gonna get this. I'm gonna ask for this for Christmas, or I hope I get this for Christmas, or maybe I get that. Maybe it's that car, maybe it's that house, maybe it's that new shotgun, guys. Maybe it's that new diamond ring, ladies. Whatever it is, it's like, man, I'm gonna get this new shiny little thing. And that's why our credit cards are burning like logs in our fireplace during this time of year. Because we think that'll do it. That'll do it. You know what Christmas does? Christmas reminds us that everything we need nothing that we really need can be found on a shelf. It's found in a Savior. Can't be found on a shelf. It's found only in a Savior. Christmas reminds us that to us a child is born, the promised one who is our Prince of Peace. When we had no peace, we didn't go and find it. He came and found us. Peace came to us. So there can be peace with God and man. See, that's the problem of the world. Peace with God has been disrupted by the fall. Jesus can bring, restore the peace between God and man. But not only does he restore the peace between God and man, he restores the peace between man and man. Man, we need a little bit of that today, don't we? I mean, peace between man and man. I mean, we need a little bit of that, humanity. In 1914, I love Belgium, right? We've got a campus in Brussels, and Belgium is a small country. You know, European countries are smaller than states in America, and so you can travel back and forth between countries. Like, we just travel from here to Kentucky, right, and here to Alabama, and why would you want to? Here in Arkansas, and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, it is still football season. I love going to Belgium, and, man, I love it, and there's so much history there. Man, there's so much war fought there. There's so much, I mean, man, there's some martyrs. I mean, William Tyndale was burned at the stake because he was a reformer who loved the Bible and who loved the grace of God. And you can go where William Tyndale was burned at the stake, right outside of Brussels. You can go to another site in Brussels where in 1914, and during World War I, the British and the Germans were in a bloody battle in Belgium. And they were fighting in deplorable conditions, cold. They were shooting and killing one another, bloody, just deplorable conditions in the trenches. And all of a sudden, on Christmas Eve in 1914, World War I, something absolutely crazy happened. All of a sudden, a truce was called, and the soldiers from the British and the Germans, the British soldiers, German soldiers, come up out of their trenches and walk toward each other and begin to hug each other. They begin to sing hymns and carols, Christmas carols together on Christmas Eve. They begin to exchange whatever gifts they had. They begin to give each other, you know, whatever equipment they had. They played football together. They let each other nurse their wounded and bury their dead. And it was a beautiful moment of peace in a time of war. And it's a beautiful, and we read that and it's like, wow, that is so amazing. You know, as good as that story is and as true as it is, sounds like a pipe dream today, doesn't it? Because that's what we really want. We look at our world today and literally some places are killing each other with bullets and like the British and the Germans in 1914 and Belgium. But we see people just killing each other with the words and people hating each other. And we'd almost just like to stop and say, let's just pause and just give each other a hug. Can we do that? It's like a pipe dream though, right? I mean, everything in our world today is still in partitions between people, not trying to create peace between people, right? I mean, isn't that what we see? I mean, it's like, let's divide our people. Let's divide up. And I mean, man, you think about all the hostility in our world today. And folks, it's always been that way. It's been this way since Genesis 3. If we go back to every world power, you go back through history, here's what you see. Go back to the Roman Empire. So right now, we look at our TV screen. And if you're watching the same news I am, you're like, what in the world is happening, right? You're watching the same news I am, you're like, how bad is it going to get? And if you're a believer, you know you ain't seen nothing yet, right? Because if you go back to Rome, the Roman Empire, we're absolutely tame, civil, and moral compared to the Roman Empire, which was immoral, sexually deviant. It was one of the worst civilizations, immoral, corrupt. Babylonian Empire, immoral, corrupt. I mean, this is the history, folks. This is not new. This is not new. You see, our problem is not something new. It's very, very old. Our problem is very, very old. It's not something new. That's why you get in today and all we see is this division and all this fighting and all this hate toward each other, right? You, You're this, you're an idiot, it's just this hating is fighting. Man, you begin to start talking about, in any group of people, don't do this, please, okay? But don't go to work tomorrow and do this, but you just throw out and start saying, hey, what y'all think about a vaccine mandate? What y'all, man, unless you're like me and sort of like a fight every now and then, right? I mean, what y'all think about a vaccine mandate? What y'all think about masks? What y'all think about that? I mean, man, Jerry Springer's going to show up around the corner and start emceeing this thing. You know that. I mean, people are going to be fighting over it. You know, gender issues. Gender issues. Sexual orientation. Sexual preferences. I haven't even gotten into, you know, abortion. I haven't even gotten into, taxes, politics. You name it. Right? You name it. It's just like, bam, that's our world. And so because of who we are, we begin to think, let's turn to the people, man, with the high IQs to figure this out. I mean, it makes sense if you don't know the Lord, right? It makes sense if you think like the world because, I mean, man, if I need brain surgery, I'm going to be honest with you. If I need brain surgery, my brain surgeon being a Christian is a plus. I want him to be the best brain surgeon there is, right? God's in control, whoever my surgeon is. I don't want a Christian that barely made past med school. I want a good surgeon. You know what I mean? Oh, he's a Christian. Well, great. I want somebody that knows what they're doing. So, I mean, I'm not saying don't trust people that are you know, educated and in that field. I mean, man, if I want my car, well, take it this guy. He's a Christian. He's a good old boy. Well, great. Does he know what he's doing? I don't know, but he's a good old boy. No, I want somebody that knows what they're doing. God's in control. I want to be able to trust them, all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying don't go to Christians. Please do. I'm just saying, man, I'm not down on going to people that knows what they're doing, but our world's like, let's trust the people. Let's trust the sociologists. They studied all this stuff, right? I mean, they studied all this stuff. Let's trust those people, you know, who study cultures and who study. I mean, what's the problem? But see, the problem is if they don't know Jesus, here's what they begin to do. They begin to think this a new philosophy will solve the problem. And what they do is they begin to say, well, you know what? Here's the problem. Well, the problem with our world today is chattel slavery. That's the real problem. That was horrible. Any kind of slavery is horrible. Right? I mean, the Bible is all about freedom. It's all never about slavery of any kind. You know, I mean, it's even spiritual slavery. That's what sin is. It holds you into spiritual slavery, right? And so any kind of slavery, but the problem is chattel slavery. That's what it goes back to. The problem is early colonization. That's the problem, right? That's early colonization is the problem. And listen, we've got a lot of things that created problems through the world, but none of those are the problem. None of those are the problem. You got to see, and if you're not a believer, you wouldn't understand. So the world's looking for educated people with more degrees than a thermometer to help figure this out, and all they're doing is digging the hole deeper and digging the grave deeper. It's not going to get any better because that's not the answer. Because you see, the problem is not a new problem. It's a very, very old problem, and the answer is not a new philosophy. It's a very, very old answer. The problem is sin, and the answer is Jesus. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the only thing that can bring peace. We've seen political correctness brings nothing in the heart. Oh, I mean, man, you know, they say, yeah, but it keeps people from saying stupid stuff. Well, your mama should teach you how to say not stupid stuff, right? I mean, you got to have some common sense in this world. The problem is sin, and the answer is Jesus. None of those things are going to change the heart. What changes the heart is Jesus. Since Adam and Eve, here's what happened. Since Adam and Eve bit that fruit, blew past the boundaries, here's what it's been, me against you. And if it's just Adam and just Eve, it's Adam against Eve. That's it. It's a man against women. It's the battle of the sexes. Women, are weak and men are chauvinist and it's the battle of the sexes. That's what God said. He's going to dominate you, Eve. You're going to want his position, Eve, and he's going to dominate you. It's at that point in time in the world, there were two people and those two people just went to war against each other because I'm man, you're woman, bam, we're at war, right? I've got a type A personality, man, you don't, bam, we're at war. I mean, you're different than me, bam, we're at war. But then as it started to grow, it was just a microcosm. As it started to grow, here's what happened. I mean, hey, you live in that country, I live in this country, I want that country, we don't like you, we're going to war. You've got this skin color, I've got that skin color, that's something we're going to war. You're in the band, I'm a jock, we're going to war. Right? You know what I mean. Jocks versus nerds. It breaks down. It's throughout all of society, in every division, in every people. That's what sin does. It doesn't cause you to see people as created in the image of God. It causes you to see people that you can dominate. People that you don't like because they're not like you. That's the problem. That's the problem. It's been the case with every people since Adam and Eve bit the fruit. And that's why God said that Jesus would be the Prince of Peace. So the answer is Jesus. The answer causes me to see men, should cause Christian men to see women as completely equal. It should cause people that's highly educated to see people who are not educated less than, as completely equal. It should cause people in New York to see people like me from the Appalachian Mountain, not as backwoods hicks that don't know anything, but it's completely equal. It should, yeah, somebody laughed at me. I mean, you from the Appalachian too. You like that, huh? No Appalachians, hicks. I'm kidding, man. It should cause black people and white people and red people and whatever color your skin you're in to say, that is a beautiful tone created by the mind of God. And we're equal. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Peace between man is only attainable if we turn to Jesus, right? He is the only. That's why when the choir of angels appeared to the shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flock at night, they busted out in song. And what did they sing? Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace among men is only possible when you make peace with God. The polarizing problems in our country, in our world today, they're not primarily social issues. So sociologists don't have the answers. I mean, they point out a lot of the problems, but they do not have the answer. They're not social problems, they're gospel problems. You know who has the answer? You do as a Christian. You've got the answer. Because they're not social problems, they're gospel problems. We begin to live the gospel and the world begins to change. We begin to live the gospel and we pulled up a model of what it looks like when people truly live under the rule and reign of God. Advent reminds us that the answer is not politics or reform or government. The answer is the gospel. Jesus is peace with God and our hope of peace with man. But finally, he's also going to make sure, and we've talked about this in Revelation, he will restore peace on earth. I want to go back and read that passage, that beautiful passage that Wagdi read at the beginning, Isaiah 11, 1 through 9. I love to hear it in Arabic. I want to read it in English because it's just such a beautiful description of peace on earth. Now, it doesn't look back. There's only two times that there's been peace on earth. One was in the Garden of Eden, and it has not been since Genesis 3. None of you have ever experienced that, and it won't happen until Jesus returns. And Isaiah, just like he prophesied to us, a child is born, he also prophesied about the new earth and said, this is what it will be like. And here's what he said in Revelation, because we come out of that, and he's talking about the same thing. In Isaiah 9, 11, 1 through 9, get this, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Jesse was David's father. David, greatest king in the history of kings. Jesse was his father. Was promised that he would come from the line of David, okay? So there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, mighty counselor, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Now, what this is talking about is his judgment's not gonna be like our judgment, right? We pass judgment based off of what we see and hear, and we don't always see and hear the right things. Sometimes our eyes trick us. Sometimes witnesses, when we hear what they say, they don't always, you know, communicate accurately what they saw or what they heard. Jesus knows everything. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you've said. He knows what you're going to say. So his judgment is 100% absolutely accurate and righteous because it's not based on human intuition or human knowledge. It's based on the Spirit of God. And so he says he's going to judge completely righteous, and he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips. He shall kill the wicked. Remind you of Revelation, with a word of his mouth, it says. Right? Isaiah sees this before John sees this in Revelation. This is God giving Isaiah this vision before John had it in Revelation. And John knew this vision because John was very versed in Isaiah. It says, righteousness shall be the belt of his waist and faithfulness the belt of his loins. Now get this. I love this. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. Now let me ask you something. When's the last time you saw a lion and a leopard and a wolf, I mean, lying down and frolicking and playing and having fun with calves and lambs and all that? No, a wolf sees a lamb, and he's thinking dinner. He's not thinking, you know, let's have a play date. He's thinking, let's go to dinner. You're the course. You're the main course, right? They're tearing each other apart. He's talking about peace. Things are going to be back like they were. You see, in Eden, the lion and the lamb would lie down together. The wolf and the sheep and the leopard. I mean, there was no tearing each other apart. He sees we're going back. All the hatred, all the animosity, because the earth groans under the sin of man. It's going away. And then it says, now, the cow and the bear shall graze. Cows and bears eat cows, right? Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing shall play over the hole of a cobra, and the weaned shall put his hand the adder's den. Now, folks, this right here tells me how good heaven's going to be. I mean, you literally got kids playing with snakes. What do you do right now? You see your kid, man, and he's outside or she's outside, and there's a garden snake, a rat snake, a green snake that's harmless, and my kid's going toward that. I'm screaming, I'm yelling, man. I'm killing snakes and grabbing kids, right? That's what I'm doing. I ain't no good snake. I mean, there's three poisonous snakes in Tennessee, a rattlesnake, a copperhead, and a cottonmouth. And thank goodness there's not as many cottonmouths here in Middle Tennessee, but there are, but not as many, but there's copperheads and rattlesnakes everywhere, right? Now, can you imagine your kid going up and picking up a rattlesnake? What's up, buddy? Let's play. No, man, you're like, that's in heaven, man, your kid's going to be playing with cobras. Man, they're going to be keeping it as a pet they're not even going to be in a cage. It's going to be crawling up in the bed with them, a cobra. I just can't even imagine that, okay? Just to be honest. Ugh, makes me a little bit cringe. That's how good it's going to be. I mean, that is a huge hyperbolic point, if you want to say. This is how good it's going to be. That kids are going to be playing with snakes. Why? He says, thou shalt not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. No one will hurt, no one will destroy. There's gonna be complete peace. There's gonna be no divorce, because that hurts and destroys. There's gonna be no backstabbing. There's gonna be no financial slides and no layoffs. There's gonna be no crazy kids. And there's gonna be nothing that causes you stress. No heart attacks and cancer and diabetes. You know, there's gonna be none of those things. Why? Because the earth's going to be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and as the waters cover the sea, because the Lord's going to reign, and it's going to be completely restored, and it's going to be brand new, and there will be peace on earth and goodwill toward men. We can't even imagine this now, but one day we won't have to wonder. And that one day is the day we talked about last week. That one day is the day we talked about in Revelation. That one day is the day that we look forward to. We look back at Christmas on Jesus's first time he put on flesh and came to earth, and we look forward to the day when he will come back, that one day. That one day when everything will be made new and when peace is completely restored. You see, here's what our world looks at Christmas as. Man, the Christmas is this time when we focus on Jesus and nothing but Jesus for, you know, the church for thousands of years now. We focus on Jesus during this Advent season. And we focus on Jesus. The enemy don't like you to focus on Jesus. And that's what the church does, right? It's huge for us. God came to earth. The promise was fulfilled. The promise of Genesis 3:15 was fulfilled. The Messiah came into our mess. And man, we want to focus and we want to celebrate that. And the enemy's like, I hate that. I don't ever want you focused on Jesus. And so what does he do? He comes in, he says, okay, I'm gonna arrange some things here that they won't focus on Jesus. And I'm gonna take their mind off of Jesus. And I'm gonna begin to get them to focus on the things the world has to offer. And I'm gonna take this and I'm gonna get them to start focusing on all the gifts and all the things and all the stress. And I'm gonna get them so busy that they can't focus and all this kind of stuff. And you begin to see that, don't you? So the world sees this as a festival of materialism, right? I mean, that's what the world sees this as. I mean, man, that's why they call it Black Friday, right? Because that one day gets businesses in the black because, man, your cards are burning like logs, right? I mean, it's Cyber Monday. It's Black Friday. It's creating holidays. And so let's get Christmas. Let's get our minds rather than the gifts. And why do we give gifts at Christmas? Now, I'm a big gift. I believe in giving gifts. Please give gifts. I mean, you can bring mine into the office, okay? You call me, I'll come and get it. I'm a big believer in giving gifts. Why do we give gifts? I mean, every Christmas we do this at my house. We sit down, and I've got gifts under my tree for my kids and for my family. We sit down, before we open those gifts, though, we read the Christmas story, and we talk about what we're doing, and then we talk about why you're getting a gift today is not because you're good. Matter of fact, you're a brat sometimes. You know what I mean? Y'all don't deserve this. Y'all don't deserve these gifts. You're not getting it because you're such a good little kid. You're getting it because God's a good God. You're getting it because God gave us. That's why we give gifts, to remember that God gave us the greatest gift of all. That's why we're getting these gifts. And so gifts are great. Getting gifts and giving gifts, it's great. But they're not when they take our focus off of the real gift and put everything. It's not about us, it's about Jesus. That's what we got to remember at Christmas. It's not about us, it's about Jesus. If you don't remember that, what happens is then you start getting angry and then you start feeling slighted. You know, you start feeling, well, she got her this and she didn't get me this. I mean, you got her a present, didn't give me a present. I mean, you start feeling slighted. Then in January, man, you're eating tomato soup for dinner because you ain't got no money to buy bologna. I mean, frying a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's a pretty good meal for me. I mean, listen, we can't tithe in January because it's like, it's about the gifts. It's about, man. No, it's about Jesus. Don't go crazy. That's all I'm saying. It's not a festival of materialism. For the world, it's a festival of materialism. For the church, it should be motivation for our mission. Should be motivation for our mission. Because of the Prince of Peace, we should proclaim peace, right, to the world. That means that as believers, we know that one day what they're looking for is going to be a reality, the new heaven and the new earth, and there will be nothing but peace there. And I want to take as many people as I can. And so what should I do? I should be one who lives sin and shares Jesus Christ with my family, shares Jesus Christ with my friends. And listen, there's probably no greater built-in moment for you to do that than over the next month. Because you're going to be around family that, let's really face it, because you don't want to be around it and you don't like some of them, right? We all got cousin Eddies, right? All of us, drunk uncles and cousin Eddies. Sometimes they're the same. We all got people in our family that's like, oh, I got to spend an hour with them. And Lord help us if they're coming to stay at our house for a while. But here's what you need to start doing. You need to start praying right now for that person, cousin Eddie. Here's the thing. If you don't have a cousin Eddie in your family, you probably are cousin Eddie. If you think, I don't think anybody in my family's cousin Eddie, that means it's probably you. You need to start praying for cousin Eddie right now. You need to start praying, God, do something in his heart or her heart, and do something in my heart. And begin to see what God does. God might make you more patient with Cousin Eddie. God might change Cousin Eddie, but God might change you. That's what you pray for. And then here's the thing is, you share the gospel with Cousin Eddie. You might get your family a gift for Christmas. Awesome. Families do it different ways. And my family, when my dad was still alive and my mom was still home, and obviously I got a brother and sister, we'd get together, and they got a lot of kids, and I've got kids. We'd all get together and have a big Christmas, you know, and we never, the adults never really got anybody. You know, we get the kids. It's like, hey, man, we got to go easy on this stuff right here. Let's get the kids something, but we get together, and man, I remember one time I was sitting, and my brother-in-law was sitting beside me, and that's how God worked it out, and he didn't know Jesus, and man, our kids are starting to open gifts and rip gifts. And you know when that time goes, paper's flying everywhere and you're trying to watch so they don't lose anything and nothing gets thrown away and all this kind of stuff. And man, my brother-in-law sent me something. And I just start sharing the gospel with my brother-in-law. I mean, I shared the gospel from Genesis to Revelation, the whole gospel, right? It wasn't just like, hey, Jesus is cool, you know? I mean, man, I shared the gospel with my brother-in-law. I mean, he's sort of right here. We're at Christmas. He's gonna start a fight right now? I mean, so I shared the gospel with my brother. He didn't give his life to Christ. He said, no, that's really not for me. That's what he said. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't walk away dejected. I didn't walk away feeling like, I did it wrong. What'd I do wrong? It wasn't about me. You see, I feel like he rejected me. It ain't about me. He rejected Jesus, not me. I mean, I was completely successful because I just shared the gospel. That's success. It's not. And I offered him the greatest gift anyone could ever offer. I told him the gospel. God offered the gift. I just presented it to him, and he refused it. That's the greatest thing you can do for your family, your friends, your servers. Now, please don't be one of those people that go to restaurants. And please, LifePoint, if you do, don't tell them you go to LifePoint. If you do this, don't be one of those people that go to restaurants, and it comes tip time, and you pull out one of them tracts. I got a good tip for you. Give your life to Jesus. That's, you know. No, that means you're cheap. Pay the tip and tell them about Jesus too, okay? Don't be one of those people. They're going to like, I hate them church people. This is a great time. It's not a festival of materialism. Let it motivate our mission. We look back at the birth of our Redeemer and we look forward to his return. And you know what? We want you to proclaim peace, but you won't proclaim peace if you've not experienced it. So I ask you today, have you experienced the peace of God? The peace with God. If not, would you text the number, text the word Jesus to the number on the screen. Jesus, 1-615-555-5519-800, the number on the screen. Text the word Jesus. You can do that, and if you're in the room, or you can just come and go to the Connect booth, and someone will tell you what that means and how you can find peace with God during this Christmas time. Then hopefully, when you begin to have peace with God, you begin to interact with your family differently, and your life's not going to be perfect. I'd love to stand up here and say, oh, man, give your life to Jesus, and your life's going to be nothing but peace, love, joy, and hope. I mean, you know, your life's actually going to be a little bit harder, to be quite honest, if you give your life to Jesus. Because now, if anybody ever tells you, you give your life to Jesus, if you're not a believer, if anybody ever tells you, you give your life to Jesus, and, oh, it's going to be awesome, and your life's going to be so easy, they're liars. They're not telling you the truth. Maybe that was harsh. Amy would tell me, Pat, that was harsh. Maybe they're not a liar. They just are ignorant. I don't know. One of the two, they either don't know what they're talking about, is my point. Your life's not going to be easier. You've now became a part of the most oppressed people group in the world. Do you realize that? Christians are the most oppressed people group in the world. They're the most hated people group in the world. They're the most attacked people group in the world. They're the most discriminated against people group in the world. They're the only people group that's not tolerated in the world. Your life's not going to be easier, folks. It's going to be a little bit harder, but here's what's for sure. But you're going to look at all that, and you're going to look at that one day, and you're going to say, man, here's the deal. This is not my home. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. I'm his child, and I'm an heir to the king, and my residence is with him. And one day, there's not going to be any pain, any divorce. One day, there's none of this. It goes away because there's going to be complete peace on the brand new earth. Today, would you give your life to him and experience that? Oh, come, all you faithful, and remember that Jesus is our peace, Oh, come, all ye faithful. To those of you who are weak and weary, tired, wore out from all this world, Jesus is your peace. To those of you who are sick, Jesus is your peace. To those of you who are in the midst of divorce, Jesus is your peace. To those of you who have crazy kids that's just driving you crazy, you're praying for them, you don't know what to do with, Jesus is your peace. To those of you who don't have a job, Jesus is your peace. To those of you who are struggling deeply and Christmas has got you stressed because you don't know where you're going to get the money, Jesus is your peace. Oh, come, all you faithful, and behold Jesus, our peace. God, we love you. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for, God, this season. And I pray that more than any other time, the church, the faithful, would come and adore you. I pray that the faithful would focus on you and don't let the festival of materialism to rob us from the motivation for our mission. The reason, Lord, that we have peace. And the only reason is you. Help us to know that everything and every problem in our world is not a new problem, it's an old problem. And the answer is not a new philosophy, it's an old answer. It's not a social problem, it's a gospel problem. And I pray that the church would see Jesus and savor Jesus, and that the faithful would begin to proclaim Jesus. Because Lord, we want peace between man and God so that there will be peace between man and man, looking forward to one day there's gonna be peace on the new earth. We love you, we praise you, and today please save souls and bring peace into weary spiritual souls with your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, church, and let's come, all ye faithful, right now, and worship and adore the newborn King.